Hi, this is Tiffany. I just wanted to drop in to our podcast today and acknowledge COVID-19. The Digital to Learn podcast has pre-recorded episodes, and we do plan to continue on with those during this time. But we also just want to stop and acknowledge everything that you're going through and let you know that we're all in this together. And we hope that now more than ever, you find our content about digital learning relevant and useful in your daily lives. Everybody stay safe, and we just want to wish you some happy listening.
A lot of the time, kids have this idea in their heads that it's just the adults that teach them, and really it's that kids can teach us too. So definitely now, I would feel comfortable with giving feedback to a teacher on something maybe, because a lot of the time I have to give my teachers some feedback about their usage of technology, making sure that, no offense, teachers. And I think it's really important for kids to gain that confidence in order to feel like they can give their teachers feedback and communicate with them in constructive ways, not feel like, oh, no, they only teach me.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. And we are so excited about today's guests.
Cynthia Merrill is the founder of the Literacy Consortium in Durham, New Hampshire, and facilitates lab cohorts across the country. She specializes in developing and facilitating powerful professional development cohorts dedicated to strengthening literacy practices in their school communities. Olivia, better known as Liv Van Ledge, is 11 years old and is the youngest guest to date on Digital to Learn. As a digital citizenship advocate, Liv uses Instagram, Vimeo, and Twitter to share her passions through positive social media posts. Liv's work on LiveBits have been featured all over the world, including conferences in Singapore, Taiwan, Germany, and England. Please join us in welcoming them to the show.
Cynthia and Liv, welcome to Digital to Learn.
We're very happy to be here.
Oh, I am so happy.
This is exciting. We've shared with you the background of these two amazing guests, and what we'd like to do first is what we call our icebreaker questions to find out a little bit more about them, and then we'll get into the serious stuff. But then we'll have some fun first. So, Cynthia, let's begin with you. PC or Mac?
Definitely Mac. I'm a Mac girl all the way.
All right. And Liv?
I would definitely go with Mac. But in school, I use PC.
Okay, very good. Okay, next question. Liv, this is for you. Hardback, paperback, book on tablet, or audiobook?
I would have to go with paperback because it's a lot easier to put in your backpack when you're traveling.
Very good. Very good. What? So when you're at school, what's the typical modality for your books?
Usually paperback because you can fit in more on the library shelves.
Okay.
Sometimes hardcovers take up way too much space.
So are your textbooks also on paper?
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
We don't actually use textbooks. We actually have them all online on Google Classroom and Schoology.
Oh, very good. Okay. Cynthia, favorite social media platform?
I'd have to say I probably prefer Twitter for professional reasons. And then personally, I like Facebook to keep in touch with friends. So those are probably my two go-tos.
Very good. For those who are listening, if you hear me laughing, it's just watching Liv's facial expressions. She's just so excited. And so attentive to what Cynthia has to say. They're a fun duo, these two.
I can't sit seriously. I just have to smile. It makes everything more joyful.
Absolutely. We love that. And do you have a favorite social media platform?
I do. I actually really, really love Twitter.
Okay.
Because I've been using Twitter a little bit less of the time. I got Twitter a little bit after I started LiveBits, and it was because we were at my first conference at ISTE, and all of these teachers and educators were like, "What's your Twitter account?" And I looked at my mom and I said, "Mom, I don't have a Twitter account." And of course, I was like, I kind of really didn't know much about it. And then once I got on it, just one tweet can connect you to so many new people.
Absolutely. Would it be rude of me to ask how old you were when that event occurred?
I was 8 years old.
Okay.
That was pretty mad. I didn't have Twitter.
That's pretty amazing. Okay. Let's see. Liv, favorite drive-through menu item?
I got two. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So everywhere, I love to get a good Starbucks caramel frappuccino.
Okay.
Decaf. You don't want to have too much caffeine or else I go crazy.
Good choice.
And I would have to say that if I'm in Texas, anything from Whataburger. We don't have that up here in New Hampshire. So whenever I'm in Texas a lot, Texas seems to really love me. Whenever we're in Texas, we got to go to Whataburger.
So when you order a Whataburger, what's on that burger?
That's a funny question. Yeah. I love to get my burgers plain and dry.
Wow.
Beef and bread, nothing on them. And at Whataburger, they do the best thing. They put stickers on it. So put plain and dry, so that way they get your order right. Because sometimes when I get a burger up here, they put cheese on it.
So plain and dry just means a plain piece of meat between two pieces of bread. Okay.
Yep.
Wow. We learned something today. Plain and dry. Okay. Cynthia, do you have a favorite?
Favorite drive-through?
Yes.
Probably good Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Oh. And if you're hungry, what would that be?
If I was hungry,
a jelly stick.
Yeah, I really like a good jelly stick from Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah.
I think we're going to get along just fine. Okay, Cynthia, favorite board game or card game?
Oh, geez.
Well, I know mine.
Probably backgammon.
Excellent. And Liv?
Monopoly and matching.
Yeah, don't play princess matching with Liv. You'll lose.
We have this game of princess matching, and I've never lost a game.
Really?
I've tried every single one of my family members.
I'm not familiar with that game. How does that work?
Matching is just, it's all with princesses. And it's, you have to find the two matches in a big mess. And I don't know if it's, I'm really lucky, but I also have a very good memory, so I can kind of remember where they are.
Just okay. The bottom line, Brad, is don't play with Liv princess matching. Even if she looks really cute and says, please play, don't.
Say
so
no.
If she says, why don't we just play $1 a game? How about that?
No, exactly.
Definitely no. Okay.
Try it out.
True.
Yeah.
Okay, Liv, favorite Disney movie and character?
So I am a big fan of the movie Inside Out. I've watched it a million times, and it's just a movie that really like gets in my heart and makes me cry every single time. And my favorite character out of all Disney characters would probably be from Inside Out is Joy. Because she's always so happy and she's always thinking on the good side of things and always so optimistic. Just what I like about her.
I would guess that's pretty compatible with who you are.
Yeah.
You just seem like that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Cynthia, favorite? Yeah.
If I were to say what my favorite is, well, I love Bing Bong, who's also in because it represents your imagination Inside Out. But if I had to say my absolute favorite is absolutely Belle.
Oh, okay.
From the Beast.
Good choice. Yeah.
Who doesn't love a princess that loves books, right?
Last weekend I was at Disney on Ice with my grandchildren, and we saw all of those characters.
Awesome.
It was great fun. Okay, now we're going to get serious for our listening audience. They want to know more about the two of you and your collaboration. So, Cynthia, I'm going to ask you the first question to tell us a little bit more about your background and how you came to know and work with the wonderful Liv.
So, my background is I was first a classroom teacher for many years and then went into higher ed and worked with students who were at the University of New Hampshire, who were mostly graduate students. My interest has always been in literacy and absolutely the use of technology, most specifically for how kids think when they're using technology.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest claim to fame is probably being a mom and the mom to Liv, in case your listeners don't know that.
I didn't know that.
So we can be incognito because we have different last names, but Liv is my daughter, and she's been doing this work since she was 8. So my biggest interest is really in how kids think about technology. And so that's how I've come to know Liv. Surprise!
So you know lots about her.
Yeah, I know all her secrets.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. We'll get to those later, all right?
Okay.
That's amazing. Yeah. We had no idea. We had simply no idea that that was the case.
We thought that. We were like, they don't know that we're related.
We're like, maybe we should just like, because we've tried that a couple times, like pretending that we're not related, and people totally get it. Even though like we look alike sometimes.
No,
like
you don't really look
alike. Do I look more like that?
You look more like Daddy.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
That's amazing.
Some facials, though.
Because we were wondering, if Cynthia's going to be on the line, where's Liv going to be? If she's going to be at her own house? What are her parents going to think about her being on this podcast? All these things. And now those have all been answered.
Yes.
Makes perfect sense.
Now we're boring.
So, Liv, let me ask you this perfect question at this point. What's it been like working with... Cynthia/mom.
So I would say that it really has been an amazing experience to be able to work with somebody else. In our book, we mention the feedback loop that goes through when people are working together, writing a book, making a video. And I really like working with someone that is okay with getting feedback and not taking it as like criticism, because I see that a lot. I do lots of school visits, and you kind of have to get kids used to, when they're working with somebody else, them saying, this is what I liked about your video. Now, maybe you can make your video stronger with this. And that's what my mom and I are really good at, giving each other very constructive feedback.
Mm.
So that feedback goes back and forth between the two of you then. So Liv, you'd be willing or able to give your mom feedback on that same kind of topic?
Yes, I would.
That's
so
wonderful.
I think what's so cool about that, Brad, is that Liv, you know, having grown up watching me work with my own students, was super curious even from the time she was like 5 and 6. And so this work on Liv Bits, her work making videos, really came from my work that I did at the University of New Hampshire with students. And I think that that's what's really neat about the work that we've done together, is I had no idea that Liv's videos would become so popular. And I certainly didn't realize how well received her message would be, this idea that kids can teach us. I mean, obviously, I'm an educator, so I understand that part of it. But what's been really powerful is to see the reaction. It's a beautiful thing to see people reacting to a positive message about digital citizenship and student voice when it really is the kid who's leading the way. And
absolutely.
That's also why people don't always know I'm her mom, because they don't always know that. And I think that's actually a huge compliment, that Liv's work kind of stands on its own, right? I'm not
support beams for.
Yeah, well, I think that my work influenced her, but really she influences me every day.
That's wonderful.
She shows me, you know, just the way that kids can really teach us how to think about technology and just the world as this amazing platform for learning.
So Liv, do you ever find yourself in a situation where you have to give some advice or feedback to a teacher or to some other adult? How does that work?
So one of my main hashtags for LivBits is that kids can't teach us. If you asked me this 3 years ago, when I first started LivBits, I would say that I was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the time kids have this idea in their heads that it's just the adults that teach them. And really it's that kids can teach us too. So definitely now I would feel comfortable with giving feedback to a teacher on something, maybe because a lot of the time I have to give my teachers some feedback about their usage of technology. No offense, teachers. And I think it's really important for kids to gain that confidence in order to feel like they can give their teachers feedback and communicate with them in constructive ways, not feel like, oh, no, they only teach me.
Very good. Very good. So, Liv, can you remember the first time you touched a digital device? And what was that?
That's a great question.
I actually strangely do, because I remember it being not so much as the first time that I touched a device.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much as the time when I learned how, in all the different ways that I can create and share my message with it. I remember when I downloaded apps like Instagram and Vimeo and Twitter, and feeling that power that people on this platform are from all over the world. All these places like Taiwan and Hong Kong and England are all right at my fingertips. I can communicate with those people that have the same passions as me, like sharks and dance, and especially reading. And so that was really what I remember, was being able to kind of use the device as a way for me to like learn, see the world in a different way.
I think that's the beauty too of Liv's work. And I think one of our Spark Change messages is I have a very vivid memory of Liv being probably around 4 or 5 years old, and that she was holding the iPad up and showing my youngest child, Charlotte, who was a baby at the time. She was showing her something that she had created on the device. And I remember just catching this moment between the two of them where here this little person is who's absorbed not in the tech, but in the connection, right? So if we live, it's the connection to something larger that she's creating. And for Charlotte, who was just a baby, it was like this connection of like creation and being in awe of something that her big sister had created. So I think oftentimes when we think about kids and devices, we're very restrictive. We think about all the things they shouldn't be doing. And I think Liv is right when she says that the world is at your fingertips when you're holding a piece of tech. It's absolutely our message in our book, Spark Change. It's what we hope that educators take away, is that there's way more incredible good out there that we can connect kids to. And we have to stop this idea of placing fear.
Absolutely.
You know, just this partnership. I hope Liv and I are an example of the partnership that can happen, both for families, but also for teachers and students. We really hope that people, when they read our text, will really think about that, the power of partnership.
That's wonderful. Liv, you describe yourself as an advocate for digital citizenship and student voice for social media. Tell us more about that.
So I always want to make sure that in everyday life, I'm making sure that my message is shared in a positive way, and also encouraging kids to share their messages too, and to make their mark on the world with their passions. I always love to make sure that my posts are hopeful, kind, and true, because your posts are a mirror to the world.
If only the world would hear that message, Twitter would be such a different place.
Yeah.
Hopeful, kind, and true. Is that
Yes.
Wonderful.
Your posts are a mirror to the world. And your posts define who you are. And that's how people on there are going to see you as a person. So you want to make sure that who you are online is really who you are in person.
I think one of the things, Brad, that we hope that people think about, and especially your higher ed audience, is just this idea that really platforms, social media platforms, the platforms that your students are visiting or that you're using to curate for your classes, really are, there's so much potential there of positivity. And I think oftentimes the media reports on all the bad stuff.
Yes.
And so that's sometimes when we're entering into those platforms, that might be our entry point, is from a negative stance. Mm-hmm. But in all honesty, I think when we are explicitly teaching students about the power of narrative online, that you can, and the power of connection online, that, you know, because I'm a literacy person, I look at those platforms as being places that you critically think, and just like you would with a book. And it is narrative. It's moving narrative, right? It's digital narrative. And so who is telling the story? What story are they telling? Is it true? Is it positive? Is it kind? Like all the things that Liv is saying. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we help students see that and carve out a professional identity on these platforms that really is who they are, they'll understand the power of that connecting in an even more deliberate way, and then carry it into their classrooms and work with students around that too. Mm.
So when you're out and about talking to groups of students and faculty and parents, what are the messages they're delivering in relation to social media?
So, you know, it's funny because Liv and I, we really try to shift the narrative. Most of the time when people want to talk about, to be honest with you, when people see Liv present at a conference as a keynote, or they see the two of us together in a session, oftentimes they're so taken by the power of the positivity that's created and what Liv has cultivated. And so after a presentation or after a keynote, it's always, I think, centered on the positive. And only sometimes has it creeped in this fear-based, you know, mindset. And it's, but it's never that they're critical of Liv. It's typically that they're seeking and searching for that same kind of understanding that Liv and I have created. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what we hope happens when people read our book, or when people hear Liv speak, or they hear us speak together in a keynote. We hope that it really shifts the narrative away from a fear-based place. And instead, like, you know what, teach me mm-hmm. what, you know, you want to know out here, and I'll show you how to find the scientists that can help you learn about sharks. Tell me what else that you're really passionate about. Which book do you love? Let's look up that author, and let's look at what they have to say, you know, on their Instagram about their books. There's so much that can be done instead of just following celebrities, or, you know, those, that's great too, except you're going to get a different kind of narrative, a different kind of story. Mm-hmm. And so if you really want to teach kids, and you want to have a partnership with your children and with your students, you have to know what they're passionate about. And so if it's skateboarding, find the most famous skateboarder and look at that feed. What's it telling us? What's mm-hmm. the story? And what can you learn? So I think that's, I hope, part of the message as well, is just that people really learn about this idea of talking and seeking and searching to understand better online.
That's a great message. A great message.
If you thought that was amazing and life-changing, then you'll want to tune in for episode number 2. Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are 3 things we ask you to do. 1, come back and join us again. 2, tell your friends about us. And 3, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
It's a digital world.
Always keep learning.